right? We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter number 7. And I don't know if anybody has this thing they like to do, but I enjoy doing it. I am a very, well, I guess it's already been known. I guess it came up at the table that I'm very much a cheapskate, and I'm a yard saler, big time. In fact, if we didn't live in a fifth wheel trailer, we would probably be out every Saturday for some shape or fashion, North Carolina, going to a yard sale. In fact, my wife and I, we hadn't been out for a while, and so we went out yard sale and do different things. I actually had to call my mom. I said, "Mom, we filled up our vehicle. We need you to bring your vehicle here because we got more stuff to get." You know, it's just that thing about yard sale and doing different things. And you can go ahead and judge me if you like, you know, about this matter. But I'm also a very huge Black Friday shopper. You know, back in the day when it was actually Black Friday and not Black Thursday, but back in the day when they actually did it afterwards, you mean, I had my tent and my different things, and I was out there, man. It was shameful. You know, I enjoy tech. I don't hunt. I don't fish. I don't really have a whole lot of hobbies, but I do love technology. And so when I go for a deal, people are like, "Oh, yeah, you saved like $5, didn't you?" No, my friend. I go much deeper than that. And in fact, you know, one time when I was shopping out, I think this deal a couple years ago was at Target. But anyway, it was a month of planning and plotting. And after my month was over with, I got an iPad Air, and they owed me $40, and they gave it to me in gift cards. I tell you, those are the kind of deals that I'm talking about. But anybody that does those kind of things, they know that, you know, it's neat to do it, but you got to tell somebody about it. You know what I mean? I mean, you got, like, if you go to the house and be like, you know, you see that right there? Now, you think I paid that? No, I didn't, you know. I paid this, you know, because there's a story that goes along with it. You really want, I mean, because when you get good news or you find a really good deal, typically you text somebody, hey, you let somebody know about what's taking place because you're excited about that which you found, that which is really neat. And so, you know, I as I was reading this story here in the Bible, I find this incredible thing that just makes such practical sense when you read it from the context that we're going to look at it, but then we're looking at the context of missions and see how much this story resonates with many of us. Now, 2 Kings chapter 7, let me give you a brief little, before we start reading arbitrarily, let's get a context of where we're at. The story centers is so important because this is obviously the entire message as we go through. All right, we're going to say that this city right here is Samaria. The enemy came in, Syria, and what they did is instead of just taking over the city, many of you know they laid siege to it. So they surrounded the city. So they surrounded the city, basically wait for them to give up. You know, I mean, if the milk truck can't get in, if the food truck can't get in, so to speak, I mean, eventually you're going to starve them out. And so eventually, no lives have to be lost of the armies or whatever. And so as soon as pretty much they are laying siege, and during this time, you read about the different famine that's taking place. At this point, I believe that donkey heads are being sold. The exchange was used for dove dung. And you read stories where the one lady walks to the one lady and says, "Hey, look, we're going to eat your baby today. And a little bit later, we eat my baby." I mean, so in Samaria, there's some hard times going on in this city. But we read this story. We're into 2 Kings chapter number 7. There's really one main point from this message, but look at verse number 3. The Bible says, "And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. They said one to another, 'Why sit here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die.' And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the camp of the uttermost camp of Syria, so behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a great noise of chariots and noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And these lepers came to the innermost part of the camp. They went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried in silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, 'We do not will. This day is a day of good tidings. We hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household.'" So the story goes that there's Samaria. At the entering of the gate by Samaria, there's four leprous men. Probably not invited into the area because of their horrible disease that they had. They're having a conversation. "Hey, guys, if we stand right here, we're going to die. If we walk into the city, we're going to die. But the Syrians are way out there somewhere, and we could go and we could surrender ourselves to them, and just maybe, they may feed us, and or maybe they'll kill us. I don't know, but we're going to die here, we're going to die over there. It's a possibility of living if we go that way. And so they said, let's go. And so they left where they were, and they left it. The Bible says that the Syrians, God had made them to hear a great noise of another army that was coming to overtake them. And so the Syrians fled for their life, thinking that another army was going to kill them, leaving behind all the spoil. Those men, I don't know how they approached the camp, whether they came with their hands up or whatever it was, but showing them no harm. And they walked through the first tent. As they walked through the first tent, they kind of look inside, kick the door, or kind of look inside, and they realize that there's nobody in here. They get in and say to each other, well, come on, guys. And they take all the silver, take all the gold, take everything out of it. And they went and they took it over here and like, whoa, man, this is great. Hey, guys, let's try that again. So they go to another place. And then after they did it time and time again, they realize there's no one here. All the Syrians are gone. And so they began to think to themselves, are you serious? I mean, they got more food than they could even eat. Man, they got more money than they could even spend. Man, they got everything. And they came to a conclusion. We do not well. You know, the message is entitled this, I can't keep it to myself. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this time. Lord, it's a short thought, but a thought that's so important. Lord, I pray that you right now that you would empty me of myself and fill my spirit. This story that we read in 2 Kings in light of missions, Lord, we understand, Lord, how much you have blessed us. Well, I thank you, Lord, for this entire month, Lord, that's taking this church and Lord, going through inside their mind and just making an emphasis and a focus upon, Lord, the importance of what you have asked us to do and light of carrying the gospel. And I pray, Lord, as this is nothing any different, Lord, that we would also take the responsibility that you have given to us very seriously. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we even get a look into your word, Lord, that we will be able, Lord, even though for those that maybe have been involved in missions, may you challenge us in other areas of our lives, Lord, to be able to make the right decisions before you. Lord, we thank you so much for those who have made their way here to the house of God. And so just for a moment, Father, may we set those distractions, things aside, be able to focus in on what you say. Lord, I don't want to check off a box to say I've been here. Lord, I don't even want you to help me throughout this message. I don't want you to assist me as to bring words or thoughts to my mind. God, I want you to take over. Lord, I want you to be within the pilot seat of what takes place this evening. Lord, this is of you. And Lord, may we just leave it all out in the court. Leave it all out in the court. We so thank you for everything that you've done and will do for us. In Christ's name, we certainly do pray it all. Amen. You know, these men came, and as they make this, they go from one place, and then they realize they have all these possessions to themselves. And I know many people that have great possessions unto themselves, and still they have come to the conclusions that they truly do not well. So my question was, as I was saying this passage, you know, why exactly, even though it seems so incredibly obvious, why exactly were they not well? Well, when you look at verse number 9, then they said one to another, we do not well. Why? This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. The one number one thing that you find in this passage why they do not well is number one, is that they were indebted to the ones that were in the city. How on earth can I sit here and eat all this food knowing that my brothers and sisters are eating their own children? How on earth can I sit upon my lazy boy and how can I just continue to go about my life and just be totally comfortable what is happening? When I know, when I have a front row seat to be, I was just moments ago, I was standing at the gate and I heard the cries of women and I heard the cries of people screaming out for just a bit of relief. How on earth can I enjoy what I have? You know, sometimes I wonder how on earth can I enjoy what God has given to me in salvation and I never one time share it? How on earth can I, my mindset not even be focused upon souls? It might not be a situation where I stop everybody on the street and say, hey, stop right there. I got to ask you a question. But am I even soul conscious? Can I go through my day and not even think about what another person is going to spend eternity? You know, can I go on a plane and talking to myself? Can I get on a plane and I get ready to fly back to North Carolina? How on earth can I know Christ as my Savior and sit beside somebody for 2 hours and not even think, I wonder where they're going to spend eternity. Man, something's wrong. You know, many times the enjoyment is not there because of peace and the satisfaction. Even though I have that joy, my friend, it's just normal to just at least have a concern for another person. You know, these guys, because they were indebted. You know, Paul uses that word, obviously, in Romans chapter number 1 when he talks about the matter of being, you know, and he was talking about being not ashamed, but he was indebted to the Greek, the barbarians, and all these other people as well. I think it's an interesting word because I think it's something that we, many times in America, the matter of called debt. You know, I first got out of college, I got my first credit card. You can go ahead and cue the music. It was dun, 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 but I wasn't getting it because I was trying to build my credit. I got it because I wanted to shop at Best Buy. And I wanted this fancy computer that they had at Best Buy. And so I remember, man, I had a $1,000 credit limit. And boy, oh boy, did I think I was somebody, man. I went in Best Buy, and boy, did I start buying it up. Man, and I didn't know anything about the minimum payment. I thought, man, you pay that $35, they're good with you, man. Now, you know just as well as I know, you keep on paying that minimum payment, eventually, guess what? That little man's going to come and say, I want my money, you know, all that money. You can't be living on this maxed out credit card. And there came a time when they need that money, I couldn't spend any more money on the credit card. But every time I would go into Best Buy, man, I feel so bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, I go to Best Buy to be like, you know, I wasn't even going to buy anything. And if I did buy something, I was going to buy cash, right? And I walk into Best Buy, like, have my head down different things, and I get ready to buy something, and the lady asks me behind the counter, would you like to use your Reward Zone membership? No! No! You know who I am? Facial recognition software? I don't know. You know, I'm like, no! I don't know who you don't know who I am! Why? I was ashamed! I owed him money! And it's like, it's just an unsettling that was there. But I remember when I paid that last payment, my friend, man, I walked into Best Buy with my head high. I said, man, I'll go ahead and buy. Why? I don't owe you a thing. But you know what Paul's saying about the word debt? It's like, I am always indebted. I wake up and I think about it. I eat my lunch and I think about it. I go to bed and I think about it. It is something that is always, I am always under. It's that even though I don't want to, maybe I don't want to identify with it, maybe I don't want to admit to the fact, but at the truth is still there that I am indebted to this world, my friend. You know, you might want to ignore missions and think that it's not important or it doesn't meet your life context or whatever it be, but my friend, no matter how it is, the what you have and your possession as far as salvation and what these men had, everyone realized that they now had a responsibility to do something with it. You know, at first, they couldn't enjoy it because they were indebted, because this day is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. Then secondly, see something else. Because if you continue the verse, it says, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. This is probably one of the largest points here that we're going over this evening. Because I believe that we would all know, yes, Adrian, I know that we are indebted to this world. And yes, Adrian, I know that we ought to always share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And do you know what many times happens is this. It's like these guys get together and they're talking with each other and they're saying, hey, guys, now look. Man, look, oh, you got all that food, man. Man, don't be crazy like that, man. You know you got people over there that are starving. Now, you know better than that. And as they sit there having this conversation, then one of the guys could have piped up and said, you know what? We are going to do something about this tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to do something. This guy says, we can't even wait till the morning light. What we are going to do, we have got to do now. In evangelism, I have the front row seats of hearing a lot of things that people will do. And not to be at the risk of sounding cynical or whatever it be, is, you know, hey, Brother Rachel, you just wait right now. But I tell you, next time you see me, bro, you know, right now I might not be able to help you out your little missions there, but I'll be, next time around, I'll be able to pay for the whole thing. I'll be paying for the whole thing, brother, because you just wait, brother. I got me a little something in the pot right now. Whoa, it's going to blow everybody away. Okay, I will do it eventually. You know, I have found this to be very much the case that no one is content where God has placed him right now. You know, since in the summers, I work a lot with young people and vacation Bible schools and stuff. And so I had the unique opportunity to preach like kindergarten through sixth grade. Then I go and I preach at a teen rally. And then I have the opportunity to maybe preach at a Bible college. And then after being at a Bible college, then I have preached my regular adult revivals and different things like that. And so here, many times, is what I find. You know, I walk over, and here we are. We got the little kids over here, and they're having their little lollipops and different things, or freeze pops. Got to have a freeze pop at every vacation Bible school, and their mouth is all blue from a freeze pop. And I'm talking to the six-year-olds. I say, hey, guys, how's it going, man? You enjoying vacation Bible school? Hey, yes, sir, Mr. Brother Adrian. I'm enjoying it. Yes, sir. This is good. This is great. Now, Brother Adrian, you know that I'm 6 years old, but I'm almost eight. you know? And I'm saying, oh, that's great, man. Don't worry, it's 8, you know? And I said, man, that's great, man. I'm happy for you, you know? And I go to the 8-year-olds and, hey, man, how are things going? Hey, Brother Regent, yes, sir. I'm 8, but I'm almost double digits. We're going to have a big party. It's going to be great. It's going to be a Star Wars party. I'm going to be 10, Brother Adrian. And I said, man, that's wonderful. Talk to the 10-year-old. Hey, man, how's it going? Hi, Brother Adrian. Yeah, I know right now I'm in the little kid's department, but I'm almost a tween. You know what I'm saying? I'm almost a tween, and I'm going to be the youth group. You're going to see me next time. I ain't going to be with the little kids. You're going to see me at the youth conference, Brother Adrian. I'm going to be at youth conference, you know? Man, that is great. Man, I talked to ones who are in that teen part. Hey, Brother Adrian, yeah, I'm a teenager, but I'm almost 16. I'm going to be driving here pretty soon. Got my little car. Yes, sir. I'm getting my license, get my permit here pretty soon. Oh, you just going to wait. You can't understand what I'm going to be able to do then. You know, I talked to ones that got to drive license. Hey, Brother Adrian, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have a couple colleges right now. There's a couple scouts looking at me right now for my sports and stuff. But, you know, here I am getting ready, scuttling some colleges and stuff. And I tell you, it's coming now. I'm looking forward to it, you know, coming around. I go to the Christian colleges and I preach it there. And Christian college, you know, hey, Brother Adrian, I'm a sophomore this year, but I'm crossing off the days. I am almost done. I am going to be out of here and I'll be able to start my life, you know. Oh, I just got to go through this right now. Talk to the ones who have finished up college. Hey, man, how you doing? Hey, yeah, Brother Ray. No. You know, you see me right now. No, this is not the job. This is just a little stepping stone right now. I'm getting to that big one, man. Next time you see me, Brother Adrian, man, it's going to be great. Talk to the ones who got that big job, right? Yeah, I got that job. But guess what, man? They got me a little promotion coming around the corner, right? I mean, you think right now I'm doing good. You think right now. But no, I'm telling you, bro, it's going to be great, man. I'm going to have some money like you ain't seen before. Then guess what? I talk to the ones who didn't have that big job. Hey, Brother Adrian, you know, packing that retirement right now. Yes, sir. You know what I mean? Got to get that nest egg. You just never know. You never know what can happen to a person's life. So I'm getting that nest egg all popped up and everything like that. I talk to the ones who got that nest egg, right? And they over here, and then they got them a little book from Shutterfly, right? And they look at this book from Shutterfly. They look and say, whoa, it used to be so good back then. Oh, man. You know what I find? No one's happy with where they are. It is always something else. It is always another stage of life. It is always another time. It is always another place. You know, listen to me. There's nothing wrong with looking forward to the future, but not at the expense of the present. There's nothing wrong of having goals or having dreams or having desires, but not for the sake of just sitting on our hands and doing nothing with the life that God has given to us right now. My friend, I might not see me come to that point where I'm building that next thing. I might not come to that point where I am getting to that next job or whatever it be. And right now, it's time to stop talking about what can happen and talk about what I can do right now for Christ. It's so sterling. Because many times it's like, what is the culprit? It's just, at the end of the day, it's just suicide of our time. Just waste so much time. In essence, our life. And these guys knew that if they sat around and they did not act on what they have been given, you know what? We can find excuses. Well, you know what? I mean, we do have leprosy. We might live for this long. And, oh, see that little portion right there? I guess. I'm not sure. Man, just take action. You know, I know I kind of sometimes seem very cynical and different things about what's taking place, but there's a place, and I'm definitely not going to tell you what area of the country it is, but there's a place where I have met many people, and I call it, I call it the land of misfit dreams. And the reason I call it that is because everybody that I have run into in this area, they sit down and they tell me what they trained for and what they were going to do and how they were going to be. And it's the furthest thing. I mean, I know that sometimes God directs people's hearts differently. But I'm telling you, my friend, if there's been a time in your life that God has called you to preach. You know, like the saying, it's hard just to do something else. There's going to be a part of you that is always going to be, Lord, I really want, Lord, I'm going to. And maybe right now, maybe I got to be like I was a male shear for a little while to get to that point. But there's got to be some way, some avenue for me to preach. But many times, like, I came up and they said, yeah, I used to be like you. I'm like, why? Yeah, I used to preach. Really? But, you know, here's the phrase, life happens. You know, a family that was getting ready for the mission field, God clearly called them. But you know that economy now, that economy, they never went. Their children to tell you their stories of each of their children would be probably the saddest thing I probably could tell you. I'm just saying is, now is the time. You know, these men, number one, they were indebted to the ones of the city. They said, we do not well because we are indebted to the ones that were in the city. And then secondly, they could not wait any longer to take action on what they needed to do. But also, in this last thing, in this verse that I see, they say one to another, we do not well, this day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Then he says this, if we tarry to the morning light, so we can't wait, some, here's the word, mischief will come upon us. Now, you probably know this, but just for sake of review, the fact that the word, one word will be translated one way, and then in another context, it'll be translated a different way. The word here that's mischief is translated 229 times in the Old Testament. And 179 times of that is translated something different than mischief just because of the context that surrounds it. The word that is being used, that we sometimes use it in the other 179 times, is the word iniquity. Now, many times I think to iniquity, that has the idea of sin. Well, we know that sin has the idea of missing the mark. But iniquity actually has a different nuance. It has the idea of something that is not used for its intended purpose. So when David said, you know, I committed iniquity against you, what he was saying is, God, this body that you have given to me, it was me to bring you glory, and I took that and I misused it. I used this body, that's supposed to be glory to you, and I used it in a way that did not. I committed iniquity. You know, these men knew, if we don't take this stuff to them people, it's just plain wrong. It's just wrong. You know, I don't know if you have one of these in your family, but we do. I'm almost done, but anybody have a TV talker in their family? Let me explain what a TV talker is. Like, as you're watching a show, they're the ones going to be, they did it, they did it. Oh, yeah, I know from the beginning, she did it. Oh, yeah, I know she did it, you know? It's like, thank you, Mr. Commentator. You the producer? Either way, you know. I mean, always talking to the TV. Now, we have one of these who remain unnamed in my family. And let's just say that we're watching the TV show. And as we're watching the TV show, let's just say this scene right here is a TV show. And the TV talker, man, they're sitting down. Man, they watch a movie. Because they always start out quiet. I always start quiet, right? And they're sitting there. Watching the show, you watch all the scenes and different things about Samaria and all the people, the bad things happening. And look, I am a crier, man. I cried at Lion King, Frozen. You know, it don't take much. It don't take much. My wife's over there saying, like, come on, it's just a show. I know, but they kicked Elsa out, baby. You know, I'm like, it hurts me. You know what I mean? And so many times as I'm crying different things, but I don't necessarily be talking to the TV, but, you know, I am crying. So, I mean, man, you see the opening scenes, and, man, people are hurting and different things. And then you see all the four lepers that are having this conversation. And they had a conversation, man. And then you see, they don't see, but you see that over here the Syrians are gone. And so the TV talker pipes up to the four lepers. Go out there. There's no one there. Go out there. There's food, you know. And the people are there. Guys are having the conversation. Should we go out there? Should we go? Yeah, let's go. Yes. The TV talker says, yes. You know. Man, they head out over there. And let's just say in this movie, then they get everything. They get all the food. They get all the supplies and all the gold. And they put it in a big stack. And they look and they say, you know what, man, this is great. We're going to keep it, man. We're going to keep it. That TV talk, oh, no, you didn't. What's wrong with you? Man, you can't even eat all that food, you know? I mean, they just go crazy. You bunch of jerks, you know? How on earth could you be so disgusting and so blah, you know? And this person just goes off. You know, it's kind of silly, but you know, sometimes I think about me and my life. How messed up is that? We see it like that, right? We see it in that story. Sometimes I wonder, Adrian, you're such a jerk. How on earth can you know the truth? And I can't even think of the last time I even tried to tell another person about it. That's messed up. That is wrong. There is no way to cut the pie. There is no way to relieve the guilt. That is just plain wrong. I'm not saying that every person is going to get saved. I'm not saying that every person I come in contact with that I hinted at a track is going to be praying the sinner's prayer behind me. But for me never even to try,
something's messed up. Let me say it very boldly. To not be involved in missions is wrong. To not let my finances reflect the fact that I am trying to bring the gospel to this entire world is just plain wrong. Messed up. However you want to call it. Now, I remember as a teenager and I had a job, cut grass. I remember this one preacher, and I'll never forget it because he yelled really loud. And he was preaching, and he was very quiet. And he says, some of you are going to criticize somebody who's giving them $1 a week. And he paused, and he screamed at the top of his lungs, it is better than nothing. I remember my first commitment of $3 a week. $3. I'll bet you change the world, didn't you? $3. God help me to be involved. I will stand before you. And God, if you just allow me for that $3 to be able to put in that offering plate on a weekly basis, that I will give it to you. You know, our family's prayer is actually in our lifetime to give $1 million to missions. You say, that's crazy. You've done the math. And I said, if I live to this year, if the Lord lets me see to this age and how much that would be and how much and that would be, you say, why do you do such a thing? I pray for it every day of my life. That God would allow me, that He would trust me to personally, in my lifetime, in our family, give $1 million to missions. But Lord, I don't know what you have, but I'm sure going to shoot for this guy. You know, I think of it, and it's many times it's like missions is, and the non-confrontational side of me that just, you know, don't be messed with people as far as money and different things. Let me tell you, I have no shame when it comes. Because God gives us things. Now, there's a man, I can't remember his name. Is it Aldo? Aldo? Anyway, Aldo lives in a house. Looks like this. You take one step this way, two steps this way, one step this way, two steps this way, and make a box. That's his house. His house is pretty much like crates, basically. That stack up like this. When I go to Honduras, typically I'll go to Aldo's house. And when you go, you can step on a stump and you can look inside of Aldo's house. He has a sleeping bag. He has a pot right there. And he has a sleeping bag pot and a little table right there. He's lived there for the past 40 years. Now, when I go and knock on his door to visit Aldo, you know, we look at it as God's been good, like meaning materially, like God's been good to me, but not necessarily to him. You know, God's good to everybody, okay? God's grace spreads. But in our thinking in Western civilization, we think that materially God's been good because of what I have. Now, I am not going to sleep in any conditions like Aldo is sleeping, right? But here's the truth of it. You know, yes, Aldo, with God being good to him, he does not have that much. And God being good to me, I have a car, I have a place to stay. God's been good to me as well. But listen to me, God has given me the extras and the other things for a reason. God has given me what he has given me for a purpose. He chose not to give that to an Aldo. And there are many times my heart bleeds and wonder why I can sit down in a plushy hotel room while Aldo sits and when it rains, it comes right in his face. I sometimes struggle with it. But God is good to both of us. But listen, God has given me what he's given me for a purpose. Not for me just to sit on it. Not for me to just hype my pants up. Well, you used to have 3, now I have 4. And you used to have 5, now I have 6. You used to have this, now I have more. That's not the point. God has given me. And it is wrong for me to take all this that I can't even spend in a lifetime and clutch it to myself. I cannot keep it to myself. You know, church, we've been challenged. You've been challenged about missions by Brother DeWitt, and you'll be challenged next week as well. If there's anything that let this message be is, as God touches your heart, do not wait. Do not wait. It's not the next mountain. It's not the next time. It's not when that ship comes in. It is now. When God asks me to do something, I will do it. Can we pray and I'll turn things over to you? Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for those who came on this Sunday night in the midst of the snow and what's taking place. Lord, we do not want to keep this truth to ourselves. Lord, it's shameful if those men have kept all those supplies and all that stuff that they needed so badly into that city. It was so wrong, so sad. Lord, it's so sad. If I hold what you have given to me, Lord, and never share with another. If I hold the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the gospel, I don't share it. Well, the resources you've given to me, and I never try to use them to bring another person to Christ, Lord, smote our hearts. Lord, change our minds concerning so many different areas of our life. Lord, how we thank you, Lord, for the time that, Lord, we've had, we have spent around your Word. Lord, in Christ's name, we surely do pray it all.